And today, as we continue with our journey through Acts, we will look at a situation where an individual can read the word, but not understand the word. We're going to look at someone who needed help in understanding what the gospel was all about. And as we look at the growth of the church from the foundation of the church, this growth was manifested through individuals with knowledge of the gospel, passing that knowledge on to others. But it takes more than that to become a Christian. You can just not can just read the word, but you have to embrace the word and accept Christ based on the word. So today we're coming from Acts chapter 8, a passage that many of us are familiar with. We can think about the Ethiopian eunuch. We can think about Philip preaching or teaching and sharing the gospel. But in the end result, someone was saved. Someone was baptized. But they needed help in understanding what they were committing to. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this word we're about to share. We thank you, Lord, for the power in your word, Father. And I just thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, for the inspiration to share this message today. And I pray that as we listen, Lord, we will open our hearts as well as our ears. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. We're coming from Acts chapter 8, starting at the 26th verse. And the topic today is empowered evangelism. Empowered evangelism. As we look at Acts, we have been on a journey through Acts. And the last time, a few weeks ago, we spoke about one of the first deacons of the church, Stephen, was stoned for his belief and his refusal to back down from his belief in the gospel. And there was a person witnessing this of authority named Saul. And he began to persecute the church. So as we begin this very, at the beginning of chapter 8, we see that the church is dispersed. Saints are dispersed because of persecution. The apostles stayed in Jerusalem, but they were scattered. As a matter of fact, in verse 1 in chapter 8, now Saul was consenting unto his death, the death of Stephen. And at that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which were at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And then we go on that we see that Christ is preached by the disciples, by the apostles. We skip down to verse 4. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Peter went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ to them. And we see that many were saved, many were healed. And as a result, some other apostles came to Samaria and preached, and many were saved. But for Philip, it was time for him to leave. It was time for him to go help somebody else understand this gospel of Jesus Christ. So we skip down to the 26th verse of chapter 8, where it says, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go towards the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. It is time for Philip to go somewhere else. He has had great success in Samaria through the Holy Spirit. But now it's time for him to go help somebody else. And I think about our Christian journey. You know, along our journey, we will find people, or God will put people in our path that we can help. It might be a good word. It might be a comforting hug. It might be an explanation of the gospel. It might be something else. But God puts people in our paths. And God sends us to people at certain times of need. We don't always know why. Sometimes we think it's a coincidence, but it is God working through us who is doing this. So in verse 26, again, now the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip and said, arise and go towards south. He told him specifically where to go, to leave the Samaria area, to go down from Jerusalem, to go to Gaza, which is a desert area about 50 miles southwest of Jerusalem. It's on the way to Egypt. Now, the first point I do want to lift up is that Philip was obedient to the Spirit. Philip was obedient to the Spirit. Now let's look at verse 27. He says, so he arose and he went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship. Now I just want to say a few things about this verse. Number one, we see Philip's obedience. He arose and he went. You know, the angel told him to go and he went. And he went for a purpose. Now we see an individual, a man of Ethiopia. We see somebody who was a eunuch of great authority. He is a eunuch under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. So he is an official of the queen of Ethiopia. And also he had charge over her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship. Now there's a whole lot that I could just share a whole message just on this one verse. But for the sake of time, I will not do that today. Maybe I will elaborate at a later time. But the one thing is, he was an Ethiopian. Now, when we think of Ethiopia, it's not the Ethiopia that we think of today. This was a place called Nubia, which was south of Egypt. And it might be known as Kush. Now we can see it as the area of the Sudan. It's located along the Nile River. Now, it was a neighbor of Egypt. So there's several points I want to lift up here as we go on with this message today. That number one, he was a person of color. And not only that, he was an important person of color. And not only that, he was under the leadership of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. Now, we don't know if Candace was really the name of the queen, because quite often the queens were known in kings by titles like Pharaoh and Caesar. And, you know, that was the title that came with the position. But this was a queen of the Ethiopians, and he was a minister of finance in her administration, and he came to Jerusalem to worship. So what this tells me is that people in that area of the country, that people of color were worshiping as the Jewish people were worshiping the God of Israel at that time. So I just wanted to share and elaborate a little bit about that. So we have Philip going towards Gaza. We have Philip on the road in a desert. We have Philip, and there's a man of Ethiopia who is there in the desert also. And in verse 28, it says that he was returning back home. He was returning and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. So picture this. Here is this official of Ethiopia. He has gone to Jerusalem to worship God. And on his way back, he is so full of joy, so full of devotion, that he is taking breaks to read scripture. And he is reading from Isaiah the prophet. He is reading from Isaiah. Now, in verse 29, it says, then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So here he is reading. Here's this Ethiopian reading in his chariot. He's reading from the book of Isaiah. He had the word with him. Amen. He had the word with him. And the Spirit led Philip to go to the chariot. Now, it's interesting as we see the obedience of Philip. Number one, He was directed to go this direction by an angel. And here in verse 29, he's directed of what to do by the Holy Spirit. You know, on our journey sometimes, we will be directed by the Holy Spirit to make a little detour or to slow down a little bit to help somebody else understand something about Jesus. So the second point I want to lift up, as a result of his obedience, Philip had an opportunity to share the gospel. So look at verse 30. Again, Philip's opportunity to share the gospel. Verse 30. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" So Philip perceived that this individual was reading a passage of Isaiah that could be interpreted many different ways. But Philip asked him, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And the individual is Ethiopian in verse 31 said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. Think about it. Think about it. Here you are reading a tough part of the Bible, trying to interpret what it means, what this passage means. And God sends someone to you who has knowledge, who knows what it means, and is willing to share. I like the Ethiopian, because in verse 31, we see, he says, "How can I unless someone guides me?" You know, we live in a generation where people of authority think they know it all and think they don't need advice from anybody else. You know, we think we get in a certain position, we get enough knowledge that it's hard for us to admit that we do not know everything. It's hard for us to admit that there are parts in this word that are complicated, that need some background history, that we need to take some time with. It's hard for us to admit that we need to reach out to others and have others help us, have teachers help us. You know, that's one of the gifts God gave to the church. One was teaching, one was evangelism. He gave those to gifted individuals to share his gospel and make it plain for all. So the eunuch said, the Ethiopian said, "How can I understand this unless someone guides me?" And Philip came up and sat with him. And it said, and the place of the scripture in verse 32, the place in the scripture which he read was this. Okay, here's what he read. "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. And in his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." Let me tell you where that's coming from. That's coming from Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7 and 8. Let me read it from Isaiah 53. 7 and 8. "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent. So he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people, he was stricken." And in this prophecy from Isaiah chapter 53, it's talking about Jesus Christ. It's talking about Jesus, how he was taken away, how he was beaten, how he was crucified. It's talking about Jesus. Now that verse 8 of Isaiah chapter 53 can also be translated as, "Through oppression he was killed, And who of his generation understood that he was killed for the transgression of my people? It's talking about Jesus. It's prophecy of something that is coming, something that had happened, and something that Philip was an eyewitness to. So here he has an opportunity to elaborate and share and teach somebody else about Jesus Christ. You know, when God sends you to somebody, God has already prepared you with a word for that person. God has already prepared you for what you need to share with somebody else. Going back to Acts chapter 8, continuing on with verse 34, it says, "So the eunuch answered Philip and said, 'I asked you, of whom does this prophet say this, of himself or of some other man?'" In other words, he's just saying, okay, break this down for me. When Isaiah is writing this, who is he talking about, himself? Or is he talking about somebody else? And that's the opportunity. God will give you opportunities to share with others. God will make opportunities available for you to share his word if we are just open and obedient to go where he wants us to go. Acts 8:35, "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at this scripture and preached Jesus to him." Preached Jesus to him. So at that moment, Philip was able to take that scripture from Isaiah and elaborate for the Ethiopian to tell him this is about Jesus. This is a prophecy about the coming Savior. This is the one that this is talking about. I know you just left Jerusalem. I know you came to worship God with the Jews. But I know while you were in the city, you must have heard about what was going on, about this sect called the Christians. I know you probably heard about a man named Stephen who was stoned. I know you probably heard about miracles happening through the prayers of the apostles. I know you probably heard. And that's all about Jesus. All about Jesus. Nicodemus went to Jesus by night because he had a question. He had a question about Jesus. My brothers and sisters, I believe Philip started out with Isaiah, but quickly led this Ethiopian to know that God does have a plan for our lives. I'm sure he went over the fact that Jesus needed to be slaughtered. He came to atone for our sinfulness, to give us access to God, because God is holy and we are unholy. So there is a chasm between the two. But Jesus came to fill the void. Jesus allowed himself to be slaughtered. Jesus allowed himself to be sacrificed. Jesus allowed his blood to be shared for the atonement in each and every one of us. I'm sure in Philip's explanation of the gospel, he had to go over some of that. There was the problem of us not having access to God. The God of the Israelites was the God of everybody. The solution was Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners and yet sinners, Christ died for us. Accept him and your sins will be forgiven. And it takes more than just to believe that there is God and Jesus is the Son of God. It takes more than that to be a Christian. I'm reminded of James chapter 2, verse 19, where it says, "You believe that there is one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. What James is saying is it takes more than believe that there is a God, to have eternal life, to have companionship with the Master and the Holy Spirit right here. It takes more than belief. It takes acceptance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It takes acceptance of Jesus Christ as the Son of God who came to die for our sins. It takes acceptance. And I know that Philip was thorough in this, because we see the response from the Ethiopian in verse 36. And my last point for today is the Ethiopian's acceptance of the gospel. Don't believe that everybody we share the gospel with will accept Christ. You know, maybe we are just a piece of the puzzle. Maybe we are the one that introduces somebody to the concept of salvation through Christ. It might be years later before somebody else shares with them a little bit more and they accept Christ. So my brothers and sisters, do not be discouraged when we teach others, when we share with others, and they do not accept right on the spot. Don't be discouraged, because this is a work in progress for individuals who always have inquiry minds and want to examine things for themselves. But we see the Ethiopian did not need to do all of this. In the 36th verse of Acts chapter 8, it says, "Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?'" So that tells me that in that gospel presentation that Philip shared with the Ethiopian, a part of it dealt with baptism. It dealt with the baptism through water, and the baptism through faith. So this Ethiopian, now that his eyes are open, this Ethiopian, this man of authority, who did not think it was beneath himself to say, "I need some help in understanding what's going on and what this gospel, what this passage in Isaiah 53 is really saying." This man, this humble person, you know, it is okay to be a person of authority and also to be a person of humility, to be a person of grace, to be a person of mercy. We don't have to be tough just because we know a little bit of something, just because we have a position. We need to humble ourselves and pray. And then, as scripture tells us, then God will show up and deal with the situation. So this eunuch says, "Here is some water." We don't know if it was a pond. We don't know if it was a lake. We know it was in a desert area, but all we do know was there was some water. And the Ethiopian said, "What hinders me from being baptized?" And in verse 37, Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Isn't that what we say on a weekly basis? Coming from Romans, what Paul later wrote in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and shall believe in your heart that God has raised them from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So this Ethiopian says, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And the Ethiopian in verse 38 commanded that the chariot stand still. He told the driver to stop right here. I have to make a detour on my journey. We can never be so busy to get somewhere that we cannot stop to help somebody else, that cannot stop to accept Christ when the opportunity presents itself, cannot stop to praise and worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, verse 38. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. When we are led by the Spirit, my brothers and sisters, souls can be saved. Verse 39. So when they came up out of the water, and the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went his way rejoicing. He went his way rejoicing. When they came out of the water, again, Philip's job was finished on this road to Ethiopia. Philip's job was finished. It is so interesting that a short time ago, Philip was in Samaria preaching and teaching to the multitude. He was in Samaria just casting out demons through the Holy Ghost. He was in Samaria just sharing with multitude of people. And God thought it was so important for this Ethiopian to hear the gospel message that he took Philip out of the multitude and put him in a place for one individual. We all like crowds. But Philip, in his obedience to the Spirit, we don't see anywhere where he said, you know, there's a lot more people who need to hear this in Samaria. There are a lot that I can help in Samaria. But he was obedient to God and went on a deserted road through a desert for one individual. That's God. That is God. That is God. Sometimes we devalue ourselves. We don't think we're worthy of certain things. We don't think we're worthy of God's grace and God's mercy. We don't think that God hears our plea, that he is with us. Out of all the people in the world, why should he spend time with me? But look what happened in this passage. Philip was put in a position to help one person. Now that will preach just by itself. But out of that, that last part of Acts 8:39, and he went on his way rejoicing. A soul saved is a joyful soul. This individual who had just been in Jerusalem in the temple services, this Ethiopian official was on his way back home. And on his way back home, he was still studying and reading scripture. He was taking the opportunity to learn more about God. And I like that because there are so many who are seeking God. There are so many who are reading this book, this Bible, seeking solutions for life, seeking solutions. There are so many who can read the words but do not have a comprehension of what the words really mean. And church, that's where we come in. As saints, we are empowered to go out and share the gospel. Now, we ought to always have a ready answer for the hope that is within us. And we do that ourselves through our study, through our worshiping together, through us fellowshipping together, through our personal study and our corporate study of the Word of God. And God will give you the words to say when he puts you in that position to help somebody else out. Empowered evangelism. This Ethiopian saw Philip no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. I can only imagine when he got back home, he said, let me tell you what happened to me on a deserted road. I was reading the word of God, And I was reading a passage that I was struggling with, for I did not understand it. And then out of nowhere, somebody showed up. I don't even know if I caught his name, but he showed up in the nick of time and elaborated to me on what Jesus Christ was all about. And therefore, I confessed Jesus. I accepted him. I was baptized. I was baptized by water, but I was also baptized through the Holy Spirit. So therefore, now that I'm back in Nubia, now that I'm back among my people, I can share this message for myself. Amen. God bless you. A message of empowered evangelism of how this works. And it works through the obedience of Philip. It works through the opportunities that God put in Philip's path. And it works through the Ethiopians' acceptance of the gospel. Our job is to do what God leads us to do. And he will lead us of who to talk to and who not to talk to, when to talk and when not to talk. He will give us the words to say, and he will give us the message to share Jesus Christ with all. Again, the church grew. The church grew through the power of the Holy Spirit, and it grew through anointed people sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it is today as it was back then. God bless you. I hope and pray that you have gotten something out of this message today about an encounter on a desert road going home for an Ethiopian. Amen. God bless you.